In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Okay, don't worry. The PowerPoint will catch up to us eventually. Don't worry. For the second week in a row, we've heard the same gospel read to us here, which is the parable of the sower and the seeds. And you remember the gospel. You heard it last week. You heard it again today. The parable about the man, the sower, who goes out and sows the seed in four different types of soil, and each one has different results. There's some bad soil, has bad results, some good soil that has good results. And you know this parable has to be really important because it's the only gospel in the entire church year that's repeated back-to-back weeks like this. And when I was looking at this gospel, like I said, the most important thing about this gospel to understand is we know, of course, the sower is God. We know the seed is his word. We know the soil is our hearts. And we know that the soil is what determines the outcome of the fruit. So where the soil was good, the fruit was good. Where the soil was bad, there was no fruit. The soil, the most important thing to understand about the soil is this, that the soil is not, as sometimes we think, a person. Okay? Do not label yourself and say, I am this kind of soil, or I am that kind of soil. The soil is not so much a category that you are as much as a condition that you are in right now. Okay? It's an attitude of your heart. And it's something that can change, like soil, like real soil, that can become good or can be bad. Okay, you're the soil inside your heart is the same way. So that means that if you've been good soil for 25 years of your life, that doesn't necessarily mean that you came in today as good soil. But it also means that if you've been bad soil for your entire life, bad soil all of your life and all last week and all even this morning, you can be good soil right now. And I want us to focus on today is the good soil. Because I'm going to make an assumption here. There we go. Thanks be to God. I'm going to make an assumption here today. And the assumption is that you all want to be good soil. That's the assumption I'm going to make. I'm going to make the assumption that everyone who's gathered here today wants to grow spiritually, wants to bear fruit, is living a life that says, I want to please God. I'm not perfect, and no one is perfect. But I'm making the assumption that everyone here wants to bear fruit. If that assumption is incorrect and you are not living for God but living for yourself, then don't listen to anything I have to say, okay? You go read about the first three soils, about the rocks, about the wayside, about the thorns, because that may be more applicable to you. But the majority of us, and I'm going to, like I said, make the assumption that everyone here is saying, I want to grow spiritually, I want to get closer to God, I want to bear fruit. So we're going to look at the good soil today. And I'm telling you, I've read this parable probably 10,000 times in my life. But I noticed something unique about it yesterday when I was reading it. Usually when we think about this parable, the good soils and the bad soils, how many potential outcomes do we think there is? Usually we think of four. Okay, there's the wayside, the rocky soil, the thorn soil, and then the good soil. But I discovered something. That there's actually more than four outcomes. If you'd have been watching this plant, the sower, as he planted the seeds, and you come back the next day, you would not find only four groups or categories of land. You'd find more than that. Look at verse 8 here. Look what it says. Read it carefully. It already talked about the first three kinds of soil. Then it said, others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You know what that means? It means that the guy came, put seeds on the wayside, came back nothing. Came, put some on the rocks, sprang up, and then quickly died. Came, put some on the thorns, and they started, but then the thorns choked them away. And then he came to a patch of good ground. And if you look at that good ground a week later, you would not see the same thing. What would you see? Well, according to that verse which you just read, you'd see some places that have 30-fold, some places that have 60-fold, and some places that have 100-fold. How that happens? How's that possible? How's it possible that in one type of soil, there was different amounts of fruit? Is this possible? I'm not a gardening guy, but I'm sure that some people here are gardening people. You tell me, Mr. Gardener guy, if I have a backyard, and you have a backyard, and we're neighbors, and we have the same kind of soil, And we go to Home Depot together, buy the same kind of seed. And we go on the exact same day, in the exact same way, and put the exact same seeds in. Is it possible that your soil, that your backyard would have 10 tomatoes and mine would have 20 tomatoes? Is it possible? Absolutely. Why? What would make the difference? Well, one person could have fertilized. One person could have, I don't know much. I think it's called tilling the ground, or the machine that does like this and mixes up the soil. One guy may have come out there the morning before and cleaned up the little things or something like that. It's based on the effort that you put in. So the soil was the same, and the seed was the same, and the sower may have even been the exact same. But based on the effort that went into the ground, either before the seed went in or after the seed went in, watering it, fertilizing it, whatever, that determined how much fruit. I'm not saying it determined the fruit. It determined how much fruit. And it's the same thing spiritually. You all are good soil. You all want to please God. You all want to bear fruit. But some of you want it more than others. Unfortunately, a lot of us get content with 30-fold, 60-fold. But our message today is going to be not how to bear fruit in life, but our message is going to be how to bear 100-fold. How to not just be content with 30-fold fruit in my life. Not to be content with 60-fold fruit in my life. Because our Lord Jesus Christ is never content unless it's 100-fold. Never. Never do you see Christ doing a miracle or giving a gift that's like 30% or 60%. Whenever he came and healed someone, imagine the paralyzed man. He could have come to that paralyzed man who couldn't move his neck, couldn't move his hands, couldn't move his feet, couldn't move nothing. And he could have said, you know what? I do this great miracle. Now you can move your neck. And you know what? On top of that, now you can move your left arm as well. And that would have been a great miracle. The whole world would have clapped. Can anyone else do that? A paralyzed man, help him move his neck, help him move his left arm, add his right arm on top of that? That would have been a great miracle. But that's not how the Lord works. The Lord doesn't work in 30-fold. The Lord says, all of you is healed. When the Lord came and did the 5 loaves and 2 fish, a great, tremendous miracle would have been if he had taken 5 pieces of bread and made them 6. That's a miracle. Has anyone ever done that? Take 5 and make them into 6? Take 2 pieces of fish and make them 2.5? That would have been a great miracle. But that's not how the Lord wants to do it. The Lord wants to take 5 and feed 5,000 and still have some left over on top of it. And it's the same thing true in all of our lives. The Lord doesn't want us to be content with the 30 and the 60, as unfortunately many of us are. But what we want to see today is, like I said, how I can get 100. How I can go further and get more fruit in my garden. The answer to this question, I was reading my quiet time yesterday. And the passage, if you're following the church quiet time, came from Romans chapter 8. And it's a very, very nice passage. The first verse was verse 18, and it kind of touched on this topic. St. Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which is going to come later on, which will be revealed in us. St. Paul in this verse is setting the agenda for us. And he discusses it the rest of the passage, which we won't read. The agenda is thus, that there is 2 ways to live life. And every single person on the face of this planet lives life in one of these 2 ways. And the 2 ways is either you're seeking to minimize pain or you're seeking to maximize glory. That's it. Those are the only 2 options. The majority of this world lives for option A, which is to minimize pain. And unfortunately, many of us live the same way. The goal of life is to minimize discomfort, to minimize trials, hardships, tribulations, anything which causes me to be not comfortable, the goal is to minimize it, right? Why go to school, kids? Kids go to school, why? Get good grades, why? You ever play this game with your parents? Why have to get good grades? Who cares if I get good grades? Well, I play the game, I'll tell you how it ends. The game goes as thus. Why got to get good grades? Because you got to be able to go to a college. Why got to go to a college? Because you got to get a good job. Why got to get a good job? So I get a lot of money. Why got to get a lot of money? So I can live comfortable, right? So I can live happy. That's the goal. And I'm not even just talking about materialistically. It seeps into our spiritual model as well. A lot of us, our goal in this whole spiritual stuff why we come to church, why we pray. You know, a lot of it is, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be a bad person. I don't want to be a person that doesn't go to church. I don't want to be one of those people. So our motivation is out of like guilt that comes with not going to church. I don't want that pain, so therefore I go to church. And I know that hell is very, very painful, so I try to do stuff to avoid that kind of pain. I don't think that's how the Lord created us to live. That's the first option. The second option is not to minimize the pain. The second option is to maximize the glory. And that's where St. Paul was. St. Paul, in a weird kind of way, was a very greedy man. But not for money. Not for earthly stuff. St. Paul wanted the glory. And St. Paul wanted the glory which is going to be revealed in us. And you know what? That guy was greedy. He was not happy with this much. He was not happy with 30. He was not happy with 60. Look here, I'll show you another verse from Philippians chapter 3. Now, Philippians was written near the end of St. Paul's life. Okay, this epistle was written near the very, very end of his life after he had done everything there is to do. After the man had been beaten for Christ, after the man had been almost killed, after he had started churches, after he had traveled all over the world, after he had written half of the New Testament, after he had seen revelations and visions from heaven. And look what he writes. He says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." The thing about St. Paul is, the man confuses me. Okay, he gives me a very hard time. And there's an expression in Arabic which matches me perfectly here. He makes me run around myself. You know that expression in Arabic? I'm running around myself. That's what St. Paul does to me, because I can't get him. I cannot figure him out. How, after all he's done, he says, "I haven't attained anything." If I wrote one letter that appeared in the Bible, are you kidding me? I would have like a sign up here in my house that says, "Everyone praise me and glorify me." I would say, "I'm done." He had revelations and visions of heaven. If I'd have attained that, even if 1 second of that, come on, what more do you want? What more do you want, St. Paul? What is it you're saying that I haven't attained anything? What are you pressing on towards? Well, easy. Towards that which Christ has prepared for me, which has laid hold of me. St. Paul knew that God doesn't give 30. His goal is not to give 30. His goal is not to give 60. Until you've hit 100, God has more in store for you and more stuff that he wants to give you. St. Paul, imagine St. Paul at a buffet line, okay, at the all-you-can-eat Pizza Hut buffet. St. Paul was the guy who would go, run, take all the pizza, stuff it in his plate, sit down, eat it as fast as he could, and then go and elbow someone out of the way to get back in line to get more. Because the guy wasn't content with one plate of God's glory. He wasn't content with one vision from God. He wasn't content with 30 fruit, 60 fruit, even 70 fruit, 90 fruit. Guy wasn't content. He kept saying, "I press on." Man, you're an old man. You're in prison. Enough. Retire. Relax. What more could you want? He said, "No." He said, "You don't understand. What's in the buffet line? I got to get more of it. It's too good. It's too sweet. I need more." You know, if you want to look for a modern day example of this, you don't have to look very far to see an example of two people who I can think of, and I'm sure you can as well, who are following this. You know, I look at Mike Pham and Dahlia. You know Mike and Dahlia, who have been serving here for so long, but recently decided to go and serve in Africa. For those of you who don't know, they made a lot of sacrifices just to be here, okay? Mike gave up his job. He was very successful in what he was doing. Gave up a very, very good career to be able to work here in the church and serve full time. And same thing with Dahlia. Made a lot of sacrifice for the sake of the service. If I was in their shoes, and many of us, thinking about it from their perspective, you know, we'd say, you know what? You guys have already made lots of sacrifices for God. You've already done lots. You've given up money. You've given up time. You've given up, like, your family time together, all that kind of stuff. Like, enough. Why? Why go all the way to Africa? The heck's in Africa? It's hot over there. It's poor over there. It's not comfortable over there. Like, I understand we shouldn't be, like, really luxurious, but you guys have made the sacrifice. Why go all the way over there? Doesn't make any sense. Why not continue to serve God here as is? You know, if you ask them what they would say? Easy. Because I want 100. Easy. Like, no thought. Easy, like is it? Yeah, I could stay here and have 30. Yeah, I can push myself even get 60. But I don't want 60. I want 100. And is 100 worth all that? Yeah, it's worth it. That I consider, like St. Paul said in another verse, that the sufferings of this present time, yeah, the difficulties of Africa, it's nothing compared to the revelation and the glory that God wants to give us over there. So my question is back again to you, okay? Is that, where are you? I already said in the beginning, you're all good soil. You all want to bear fruit. You all love God. I already said that. You're all living a life that wants to please Him, and He's working inside you. He's putting the seeds in that's bearing fruit. But my question to you is, how much fruit do you want? Are you satisfied with one trip to the buffet line? Are you satisfied with 30 pieces of fruit? Or do you want more? Does 30 make you content? Or are you like St. Paul, who you want more and more and more? Thing is, if you answer this question, minimize pain or maximize glory, unfortunately, there's no way of having both. We wish that we could have maximum glory with minimum pain, but you can't, because the two are directly opposite each other. So you must decide which is more important to you, because you'll see many of the commands that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us in the Holy Word is showing these two in direct opposition. About pray without ceasing is in direct opposition to sleep comfortably all night long. You got to decide. What do you want? The sleep? The comfort? Or the glory? Fasting is directly opposite of eating. You got to decide. Which do you want? And many more commands are like that. Because like I said, the fruit is there. The potential is there. But now it's a question of how much, when are you going to stop and say enough to that buffet line? The thing is, what I'm talking about here is a general rule of life. This is not even just a spiritual principle. It's a general rule of life that if you want something, you must work hard and you must put in some sacrifice in order to get it. The promotion, okay? If you want a promotion during this coming year, then you will assume you're willing to put in the extra hours because you want the promotion. Some people I know, not me, but other people, are willing to put in a lot of years and studying and exams and that to have two little letters next to their name or three of them, a PH and a D or something like that, and willing to do all this kind of stuff, which to me is just absolutely crazy because they want what's on the other side of it. How about spiritually? I know what you're willing to do for the grades. I know what you're willing to do for the degrees, the job. I know all that. I don't care. How about spiritually? What are you willing to do for more fruit spiritually? For more power in your prayer. For more when you open up the Word of God and you read it in your quiet time, that there's revelations there. That there's something speaking to you right there. What are you willing to put up with, but to go through in order to have fruit and glory in your spiritual life? Moses saw the glory of God. How? Climbing up a mountain. 7 times. Same thing for us. Easy for us to say at the bottom and say, I want to see God's glory, but the mountain's too high. He didn't say like that. He said, you know what? God's glory is up there. I don't care if there's 15 mountains in front of me. I'm going to find a way to get to it. And he saw God's glory in that way. The key with this whole thing is keeping your eyes focused on the reward, not on the cost. Okay, because if you only see the mountain in front of you, then you'll never be able to get to the top of it to get God's glory. Again, back to the buffet line. My feet hurt, my back hurts, I don't want to walk all the way over there. But I most certainly want another slice of pizza. So if I keep my mind focused on the pizza, the pizza, the pizza, the pizza, then you know what, I'm willing to endure a little bit of back, feet, this and that, because the pizza is so good. But if all my focus is on my back and my this and my that, I'm going to miss out on the good thing that's at the end of the buffet line. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. We might got to keep our eyes focused on the glory. Got to keep our eyes focused on the reward. Keep our eyes focused on God wants to give me 100. So this morning when I prayed and I got 30, realize that there's better than 30. And when I got 60, realize that there's even better than 60. And not to be content with the little bit that I have gained. Problem is when you get content, you become complacent. okay? And you lose the little bit that even that you had. You know the story, the parable of the guy who got the different talents and the one who was complacent and content with just his one? He lost even the one that he had, and it's the same thing. A wise man once told me, one of my spiritual fathers, it is very dangerous to be comfortable. It is very dangerous to be too comfortable in life. When things are too much, pain is minimized and discomfort is minimized and everything's in your comfort zone. And he warned me against that. And I think it's a very, very wise saying. So, make a decision. You make a decision right now. I'm asking you this question. You're here before the altar of God. No one's going to look at your answer except you and God. You answer this question. How am I living my life? Is my goal to minimize the pain, minimize the discomfort, minimize the troubles and the hassles and the or do I want to see God's glory? Do I want to get more fruit in my life? You answer that question. And for those who answered, I want more glory, and are wondering, the next question is how, I'll point you to the Pauline epistle, okay, which was just read to us a few minutes ago. St. Paul gave us some good advice for this. It came from Hebrews chapter 6. Look what he says. He says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." You understand what he's saying? He's saying, I want you to show the same diligence, persistence, show the same effort to strive, to push yourself, to keep on going, man, to just go all out for it until the very, very end, and do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He's saying to keep on pushing yourself and imitate those who have done it before you. Who are those who have done it before us? Well, the next verse, he gives us a good example. He says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.' And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." He gives an example here of the best example of this, of someone who strove to get more and was never content with 30 or 60, but always pushed towards 100, which was our father Abraham. Abraham is the epitome of a guy who God blessed him. Abraham said, "I want more blessing." God said, "Okay, you're going to have to leave your land." He said, "I'm willing to leave my land." God said, "Okay, here's more blessing." Abraham said, "I want more blessing." God said, "Okay, you're going to have to take your son Isaac up on a mountain and kill him." Abraham said, "I'm willing to get more, anything to get more blessing from you, God." God said, "Okay, you know what? I'll give you the greatest blessing." Look what he says right here. God was trying to find the greatest thing to give to Abraham. Try to find, like, the most precious thing. And it says, because he looked around his storehouse, he could not swear by anything greater. He couldn't find anything greater to promise to him, so he swore by himself. He swore by his own name that in blessing, I will bless you. I give you my word. You know what I think? I don't think that the blessing of Abraham is that far from us. I don't think that the blessing of Abraham was something reserved for someone a long, long time ago, and that's it. I believe that God is calling us the same way that he called Abraham, to bear much fruit in life and to go 100-fold. But I don't think God has anything different in store for me and for you either. But the question is, like I said, who is willing? Who is willing? Someone's child is walking out the door there, if anyone wants to know who that is. If anyone doesn't have their child with them, check to make sure where they are, because someone just went in the parking lot. It's important that we keep our children with us, because there's cars out there, and sometimes they hit kids. Okay, very good. Okay. Everyone, just make sure your own child is with you right now, okay? If your child is with you, you're in good shape. If not, good luck. The blessing of Abraham is there, okay? And God wants us to bear, like I said, that 100-fold fruit. But the question is, who is willing to lose a little bit of sleep over it? Who is willing to maybe, you know what, not get that promotion this year like I planned to get that promotion this year? Who is willing to endure a little bit of hardship, a little bit of discomfort, to go outside their comfort zone a little bit in order to get it? You know, I think of another example that I'm sure hits even more close to home for you, which is, you know, that right now we have a group of missionaries who are serving in Africa, with the Bunupshoi is with them, and there's a group of 18 of them. And this group of missionaries is different than any other group that we've ever sent in the past, okay? This group is, how should I say, a bit more mature, okay, than other groups that we've sent in the past, okay? They are more wise. There you go. They're more wise and experienced than some of the other trips that we've sent in the past. I'll tell you what, I give this group a lot of credit. Because they had no idea what was waiting for them. There'd never been a group of this many extra experienced people, okay, going to serve in a country like this. There's diseases, there's hardships, there's long car rides, there's all kinds of stuff. And very, very easy for every single one of them to say, you know what? Let me just stay here. Why go all the way over there? Why go over there? They're good people. Stay here and keep your 30. But you know what they said? They said, I want to go get the 100. You know the result of it? I spoke to them yesterday. They're doing, if I said great, that would be an understatement. They're doing beyond great. And I'm worried that some of them may not return back, okay? Because they're that much in love with the place. And Abunim Shoy was kind of joking with me, saying, forget about the young people. We're never taking young people again because the more experienced trip ends up having much more fruit and stuff like that. So they're doing great. Easy for them to stay here and say, you know what? I serve God here. I have my Bible study here. I do all that kind of stuff. Why go all the way over there? Answer's easy. Because that's where the 100 is. The question of this whole thing is how much fruit you want to bear. I know how much they want to bear. I know how much St. Paul wants to bear. My question is, how much do you want to bear? And what are you willing to do to get it? You know what I think our Lord is trying to do today and what the church is trying to do with this gospel and repeating it? I think he's trying to make us jealous. I think that's the goal today. He's trying to make us jealous. Trying to show us something which is really sweet. Something which is really glorious. Something which is eye has not seen nor ear heard nor have come upon the heart of man. The things which God has prepared for those who love him. And he's trying to say, it's out there. Now what are you going to do about it? Are you willing, like I said, endure a little hardship? Push yourself a little bit. Go out of your comfort zone. Lose a little bit of sleep. Have a headache in the morning because you missed your coffee. Are you willing to push yourself to get that fruit? Or you're happy with the 30? I'm not saying you're bad if you're 30. That's not what I'm saying. Don't mistake me, okay? I'm not saying you're the bad soil. But what I'm saying is, you can have the life of 30. You have the life of 60, but it doesn't compare to the life of 100. 30 is good, 60 is better, but man, 100, that's the stuff that dreams are made of. I always think that God's glory is like the ocean, okay? And so many of us take a step in, wiggle our toes in a little bit, play with the little seashells on the shore and say, wow, the ocean. Ah, you know what, man? You ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't even tasted. There's a whole depth of ocean out there. And in there, there's waves, and there's boats, and there's all kinds of cool stuff. And it's the same thing with God's glory. But we have to be willing to go out there. We have to take Romans 8:18, and we have to make it not just words, which is written 1,000 years ago and it means absolutely nothing. We have to trust these words, believe these words, and live these words, and say the following: that I consider that the sufferings of this present time, the hardships that I endure now, the lack of sleep a little bit, maybe I didn't get the promotion like I wanted, I couldn't buy a new car as soon as I wanted, whatever, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Do you believe this verse or no? Do you believe that God has more fruit or no? Do you believe that there's a glory out there that is greater than anything you could have possibly imagined? I hope the answer is yes. Glory be to God forever. Amen.